What, you dare me
what,
to make
you,
it about
dare
feminism?
Me to make it about feminism?
Because I can make it about
because
feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
You are now listening you to the are Feminist now listening Bar podcast. To the Feminist Bar podcast.
What is good? What is popping? Welcome to the Feminist Bar podcast with your host, Tina Tsuemaka. And welcome to another episode under the 80,000 Too Many Project. This is an abortion storytelling project to destigmatize abortion in Zimbabwe. And it is funded by the Black Feminist Fund and Urgent Action Fund. So before we get into the episode, just want to say a huge shout out to our donors for seeing our vision. So today, as part of the 80,000 Too Many series on abortion, we are going to be talking about pleasure after abortion. And I have a fave who is here today, Marie. You want to say hi to the people?
Hi, everyone. I am Marie. I'm sure if you've listened to Tina's wonderful podcast, you are aware of who I am. But just in a nutshell, I think feminist reproductive health advocate, and just excited to be back here to discuss this important topic.
Thank you. So, I mean, the first thing that I think I kind of wanted to mention was, I think when we were thinking about what episodes to put in the series and to be a part of this project, you know, I kept thinking to myself, like, why with each, like every episode. And I just thought to myself, I don't think it's enough anymore for us to continue just advocating for unrestricted, safe abortion, but we also have to like get into the deeper nuances of other conversations around abortion, which will also like normalize it and just like shift norms and practices in the way that we are currently doing things and the way that we think things should be done. So that is why we decided to kind of go with pleasure as an important part of this. So yeah, like, how are you feeling about this conversation?
Yeah, I think I'm excited about it because I don't know, you know, I think everyone's watching what's going on right now in the world. And I think now more than ever, it's really important to have these conversations because there are a lot of shifts that are happening in a very regressive manner. And the conversation that's centered around pleasure really is one of those that's going to carry us through, because we are going to have to continue to fight for abortion to be legalized in the face of a lot of these governments deciding they want to go backwards. But in the absence of pleasure, that fight is one that's going to be miserable, draining, and at some point, one that we just want to give up on. So I think it's just really important that we talk about pleasure within this context of a very complicated reproductive health space.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So I think we could probably start by talking about the kind of impact that abortion has on pleasure, of course, through the impact that it has on the mind and the body. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think with abortion, the impact on your mental health is one that almost precedes the abortion itself and really precedes the sexual act that resulted in you needing an abortion. Because it's important to contextualize that we do live in a society where those who have uteruses and the ability to have pleasure or choice really is one that is just seen as a threat to the entire makeup of society. And so when you are making that decision to then have an abortion, or when after you've had an abortion, you are confronting a lot of feelings around how dare you do that, not only in that you sought the abortion out, but also that you even had pleasurable sex, or you had sex, because not all abortions obviously are coming from pleasurable sex. But there's a lot of blame that's shifted onto the uterus-bearing bodies because they have to seek out this abortion. And so the impact that that has on the psyche really in many ways is you are unworthy, you are undeserving. And then that manifests in so many ways in your day-to-day life, especially in areas such as pleasure, because there's this idea that like you don't deserve to have good things anymore, because the decision around having an abortion is just framed in such a way that it's like, you are the scum of the earth because you have done this, but also you are the scum of the earth because how dare you make a decision for yourself and for your body when you're not supposed to be doing that. And so it really does take a toll on people, even though studies have shown that a majority of people who do seek out abortions do not face regret. They actually feel quite a bit of relief. However, there is the added element that, you know, incorporating yourself back into your day-to-day life can be something that's really challenging, whether that's, you know, getting back into the swing of a relationship or perhaps in the future having children, so on and so forth. There's so many different areas where people who have sought out abortions say that, you know, a random occurrence happens and they just are feeling like a shell of themselves. And so I think it is important for you to also address what led up to like the feelings you had leading up to the abortion, and then how you feel about having had the abortion, and then kind of really take care of yourself afterwards. But now I'm kind of rambling, so we can talk in more detail about what some of the, like, you know, what you can do to take care of that thing. Yeah.
I think what I would say in response to that is there's also a need to kind of unpack shame from like a little bit of a personal and individual level in this conversation, because sometimes you have shame that is coming not from having an abortion, but from probably becoming like pregnant in the first place. For those who are out there and they want to be child free, or for whatever reason, they can be like, how is this happening to me after taking all of the measures that I could have taken? There could be shame around who, right? Who you conceived this fetus with. Sometimes it's not about the abortion. Sometimes it's about the things leading up to the abortion and the things that happen after. So it's also thinking about like how much room you have to heal and process or regret or your feelings or your decision. And sometimes when you don't really have that, especially, for example, in a setting where you don't have anyone to tell, where you do this by yourself and it's a lonely journey, sometimes there's not enough room for you to heal on your own about it. And that manifests in different ways. However, I don't think we can get past this part of the conversation without talking about one particular thing. So I want to say, I am not a medical doctor. I'm not a medical doctor, but I am a woman who has gone through an abortion, and I am a woman who has gone through the physical, the emotional, and the mental hormonal part of this entire process. And I will say that when people fall pregnant, they are more or less experiencing pregnancy hormones. And even after you have an abortion, you continue to have those hormones, which impact how you're feeling, your feelings, where your mental health is at, and really just the intensity of those feelings around that. So I think also remembering that, like, really contextualizes it for you and really makes you realize that's all like going to be okay. But it also then like really explains why a lot of people can then have an issue with experiencing sexual pleasure after.
100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, in your work experience, how do you think our mental health is kind of connected to the way we experience pleasure? I mean, someone will tell you that, you know, I have a lot of sex, you know, when I'm not okay. And other people tell you I will not have sex because I have no sex drive. And medications, etc., can also impact your mental health, which can also impact your sexual pleasure post-abortion.
Yeah. It's a very like, it's very individual oriented, I think. Individual in the sense of also what community you were raised in and what that community told you about pleasure and what it signifies in your life. And like you're saying, you know, for some people, it's I'm miserable and sex is the only thing where I can feel. And for other people, it's kind of, I have literally no libido. Like I haven't orgasmed in like 6-7 months, even if I am having sex. Within the context of abortion, though, I do think a lot of what tends to happen is that there is a complicated relationship that then exists with sex, which I think I've just described in either of those scenarios is one where it's kind of like sex's position in your life is one that is not healthy. And so that I think is the point in which I will kind of approach how, you know, mental health and sexual pleasure are connected, with an emphasis on the word pleasure itself, because despite the fact that, you know, you can say I'm having a lot of sex or no sex, the fact of the matter is that pleasure is kind of devoid from your life, because pleasure is not just the feeling, but there's intention in that feeling. And so when you have gone through this process where you have been told and you are consistently being told you are a horrible person for doing this, I think there becomes this relationship with sex where it's like this thing that I don't deserve to have. And that can manifest in, you know, now I'm having too much of it because it's the forbidden fruit, or I'm not having it at all because I'm so terrified. And I think that the impact on sexual pleasure is one that isn't even just only on sexual pleasure, but if you're told that you're not deserving of making a decision that you in your gut felt like was the best decision for you, then pleasure in general, I think, is just completely disrupted, because now you don't feel this worthiness of, am I allowed to be happy? Because when I felt like this decision was going to make me happy, everything and everyone was saying that, you know, I was making a really terrible decision. And then you're also just reminded of the process of doing it, because in a lot of contexts, it's not legal and you kind of are doing it by yourself and things like that. And so I think with the shame and the stigma that is surrounding abortions, inadvertently in some way, I think pleasure, and then we can go more specifically into sexual pleasure, is impacted, because your feeling of, I am worthy of making decisions that make me happy, I am worthy of enjoying the fruit of those decisions, is taken away in the process of you seeking out an abortion.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll also add that, like, if you have ever had any medical procedure done that required you to be in the hospital, like be immobile for a couple of days, you know that that ultimately, you know, takes a toll on your body, your mental health, on, you know, your appetite, things like that. And I think very similarly, it's exactly like that with abortion. So sometimes that your feelings or what is crippling you might not even be emotional. It could just be stemming from something physical, and then there's a whole political conversation about it. And it's always the outside voices, because a lot of women are so happy and content in their decisions, but it is then the outside world that wants to tell you that you're not happy with it. Anyhow, so I mean, again, in your expertise, like, what are some of the strategies of just kind of like taking back your body and taking back your pleasure and seeing yourself as a sexual being again? I think what I will say, from my own experience, learning to live in a kind of like a celebration and like recognition and like honor of my past, right? In honor of like the decisions that I made before, and like only just like making myself prouder every day, because there's not a single day that goes by that I'm like, oh, I regret having an abortion. If anything, like when I think about it, I literally think that was the best thing that I ever could have done. Anything else could have completely changed and transformed the trajectory of my life in a way that I just ultimately would have felt like I have no control. So juxtaposing the alternative, honestly, is also is also important. And just realizing that, like, there is power in every decision you make, and you are in control of that power. So, you know, the life that I have now, what I wanted, what I was thinking about, the reason I had an abortion when I had it, I still to this day always think I will live child-free. Do you know what I mean? Like, I will live like the life that I wanted when I was like, I'm going to get an abortion. I can't live a life where I have to do this and this. I need to be free. I need to be this. I need to do this. I need to do that. Like every day I wake up and I do that shit. So, you know, just reminding yourself that you're that bitch, I think is the best way to take control of your body and ultimately your, like your sexual existence. Because for me, like, there's no sex if I'm not right within. So
yeah,
yeah, my sexual pleasure is deeply connected to how in touch with myself I am and just how strong I feel in myself.
Yeah, which is, I think, just in essence, taking back control of your narrative, because there's so many narratives in your life that you have no control over who writes them, who changes them, you know, who creates the character arc, so on and so forth. And so I think it is a good strategy to kind of remind yourself that the perspective in which you look at the situation is really important. And like you said, what was the alternative? And sometimes we tend to forget what drove us to make that decision. It was something that was like, the alternative is just does not look like an option for me. And so reframing it in that way, taking control of that, I think is one effective way of kind of approaching the lack of, you know, desire or pleasure or intimacy that you may feel like you need to put yourself into as a result of having an abortion.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, outside of that, I think what possibly other people can do about this, I mean, this is a very personal conversation, which would usually involve a lot of heavy lifting from you yourself as a person. But I think possibly having some of these conversations at the time that people are actually accessing abortions, because what I'll tell you is, when you go into the hospital to get a termination of pregnancy, when you're signing your forms and like putting on those little gowns, like there will be a nurse who will walk into the ward with just like a cart of contraceptives. And she does not tell you how to use them. She doesn't talk to you about anything else. She just comes in like, yeah, this is so that you avoid this next time.
Yeah.
Like, read the room. It's so, honestly, it's actually unethical, because these are like some of the things that lead people to not have all the information that they need. A lot of people are figuring things out between them and their bodies, like in their rooms or in their bathrooms, just because this information isn't made available to them. And I think that, you know, that's a part of healthcare. A lot of people will say like, that's so unhinged, like to expect that level of detail or that level of like service from service providers of abortion. But if you're in healthcare, that's healthcare, right?
It is. But I do also think there is a certain like layer of like shaming that's being mobilized in that process, right? Because we may not like openly talk about it, but there definitely is some form of an orchestration in the setup in many situations of abortion spaces look like. And I think it's different in different places, different contexts, but also like wheeling in a cart is kind of utilizing this shame aspect of like, just to remind you, you're in this situation because you weren't smart. And so now I'm going to give you the tools and you should be a good girl. And go home and make sure this doesn't happen again. And it's really utilizing this like this belief system that like people are their feelings and their feelings are going to dictate everything in their lives, which I think is another important thing to remember when it comes to like pleasure, seeking pleasure after an abortion, is that like you aren't your feelings. And I think in a kind of cis heteropatriarchal society, there are so many avenues that are telling us or are benefiting from this belief system of like, you are your feelings. And so modalities such as shame and stigma are so prevalent and so powerful because we are being told we are our feelings. But like, you can feel shame and you can feel regret, but that doesn't change who you are as a person. That doesn't change why you made that decision. That doesn't change your worthiness of accessing pleasure in your life. And I think having that kind of conversation with yourself repeatedly after an abortion can really facilitate in the process of seeking out pleasure. Because really, in many ways, when pleasure is taken away from us on a day-to-day basis in so many different arenas, the way in which that's done is through our minds and through our belief system of like, I don't deserve this or whatever. Like, the state doesn't have to be in the bedroom, but the state is in the bedroom. So they are, you know, in many ways telling us like, you don't deserve to do this and whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think like, it's pleasure itself is like, even though it's like sexual pleasure is obviously very much akin or connected to an abortion, but I think also following an abortion, if the act of sexual pleasure is too intense for you to confront at that time, and I hate that I use the word confront because it's not something that's like battle, but other forms of pleasure are important to explore because I think pleasure in and of itself is a continuum. So if you are, you know, someone who enjoys doing certain things like being outside or, you know, traveling or whatever makes you happy, I think it's important to kind of almost aggressively pursue those things and do those things so that you are reminded that you are deserving and you can feel certain feelings alongside feeling pleasure. So you can feel shame and you can feel regret and you can have conflicting feelings all in the same space. Two things can be true at the same time. And I think once you hack that, to be honest, then the power that's wielded over you through the state being like, you are your feelings, only one thing can happen at one time. And so if you're feeling shame about this abortion, it means you shouldn't have done it and you don't deserve pleasure, can really be removed from your life. And I think that in and of itself, as you know, the likes of Patricia McFadden have said, is like sex is power, pleasure is power. And that can really open up so many things.
Yeah. Oh, that was so profound. I love that. I love that. And, you know, the state being in the bedroom is exactly why we have restrictive abortion laws that say that you can only get an abortion under these particular circumstances, because why are you as a woman having sex if not to reproduce, reproduce, if not to serve the patriarchy, the capitalism? If that's not why you are having sex and you get pregnant, then well, the patriarchal consequence for you should be that, you know, you have to take care of the child forever, or if you have an abortion, you must be shamed about it until you, I don't know, like fucking kill yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, so, literally, it's like, let me give you a little whipping, come into like this these hospital quarters that in many situations are hostile because, you know, you've been misbehaving, Missy, and then out into the world, but don't you dare forget that you made a mistake and you should never do that again because we will reprimand you in some shape or form.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. Like what you said before about like it's all like very coordinated, and I think it's very deliberate. Because to me, it's like, come on, like walking into pre-termination ward with fucking contraceptives, that's insane. That's like the same level of unhinged as like those like anti-abortion clinics that are like locating themselves close to like abortion clinics just to like shame people or like recruit them to be like, no, keep your baby, but then when you keep your baby, we're gonna abandon you and then we're gonna call you poor and like make laws that criminalize your poverty. You know what? Don't even get me started. I'm just gonna get into it.
It's just void of empathy. It's like, whoa, dude, I just arrived. You know, like, why are you throwing all of this at me? But you know.
So okay, tell us a little bit about any kind of resources that are available for people who want to learn a little bit more about this.
Yeah, you see, I wish I had a laundry list of resources to provide, but the honest truth is very little is out there. The information that does exist is just from women who have had abortions who are sharing their stories. And so I think there's quite a few abortion-related organizations that use narrative story building to kind of normalize this scenario, and you kind of have to like dig deep into the archives of what they're doing to then be able to look at the concept of like pleasure after having an abortion. So really it's an unsatisfying answer, And I don't necessarily want to like say this organization is the best at doing it, or this organization is the best at doing it, because I think everyone's scenario is different. Everyone's kind of access to certain things is different. But I do think looking up stuff around life after an abortion or regret after an abortion, there are a lot of stories out there of people sharing it. But I do think because of, you know, who really has access to putting things on the internet, donors decide, okay, maybe this is too much. Like, why are you doing this? This is a bit hectic. There's very seldom an institution that is completely dedicated to saying like, let me help you out with, you know, the feeling of regret or shame, or like, I don't deserve pleasure following an abortion. Having had said that, I do think a lot of the methodologies of addressing kind of sexual pleasure following an abortion that are discussed in many of these personal stories, are those very similar to kind of any psychodynamic treatment or psychodynamic therapy? And so I think definitely looking into mental health resources is a way in which you can approach this conversation. Obviously, there is the layer of safety in that, you know, you can't just go to any service and be like, hi, this is how I'm feeling, and it's because of this. And that can even put you further into the shadows. However, I do think whatever kind of resources that are out there that pertain to, you know, anything to do with mental health and all of that stuff that you can utilize personally in a safe environment can be ways of addressing this. But hopefully there's more resources like these that you're providing where people are just kind of talking about this. However, in a nutshell, there are very little resources that exist that want to speak about pleasure after abortion. Are we surprised? No, because they don't even want to talk about pleasure before abortions, or just pleasure in general for women. But unsatisfactory, but there's very little resources that I can actually provide.
Is that not the plight of just feminist practice? People thinking that everything exists and that there's so much funding, when in fact there is no funding and things don't exist. I will also go on a bit of a search for some of these things, and I'll link them in the episode notes. And maybe we will be the ones to put out some of these resources. I mean, I'm definitely thinking about writing about sexual pleasure in my thesis. We'll see.
I was getting another book. Education is ruining the girls. Like,
I would not hold your breath on another book. I wouldn't do that. But okay, so we have now come to the end of our episode. So I mean, do you have any last words? Anything you want to share? Anything you want to say?
I really think I just want to reiterate that like pleasure is power. Really and truly, if you ask yourself what is the one thing that really rattles everyone's bones, even within these like feminist spaces that we're in, it really is pleasure and women seeking pleasure. And so I really do encourage everyone to continuously go on that journey, because it doesn't end, of seeking pleasure and redefining what pleasure actually is outside of these very binary cisgender patriarchal ways of looking at them. And reading about it really helps, I think, because sometimes it's like, I'm feeling this feeling, but I think it's maybe just me. And sometimes you just need to read a little so that you feel like I'm actually not crazy. So just to reiterate, pleasure is power. And I think it's a worthy endeavor to kind of pursue that power for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been lovely. I'm sure we'll see you again, Marie. And thank you so much for your time. Again, please go and check out our project, the 80,000 Too Many project on abortion storytelling and destigmatizing abortion in Zimbabwe. And that is a wrap on this episode. We will see you for the next one.